And what am I trying to say is, wherever you go, in the high school, in the junior high school, in the university campuses, there's availability of substances that the youths abuse.
I've heard that before about our secondary schools. I hear now that little children now, they've taken to drugs. That they now, how true is this?
It is very true. Why is it so? I'm not going to talk about solutions. Let's even talk about the prevalence of what's going on. You asked me something one day. I don't know. Maybe I should jump into that, but let me just leave that. We have youths and children. Children, not even young men, not even teenagers. You have them using drugs. Some are in the school. Some are out of school children. But they are our children. They are Nigerians. And they are within this, our territory of control and domain of help. So we need to talk about it. And these are very heavy issues when the country cannot mind their children and be very conscious of putting them straight. They will become a problem for the society.
What are those type of drugs that you're aware that our young people now abuse the more? The last time, I think it was last week, that people were telling me all kinds of drugs and how they do it, that sometimes they put it in a bottle and you think that it's these fizzy drinks that they have there, but then these are hard drugs. And I'm wondering, I mean, how bad can it get? I mean, what are these drugs that, you know, you find on the streets that are being commonly abused?
The list is getting bigger, Sheriff. Do you want to start from ICE? There's now ICE in the streets of the country.
There's one called ICE.
Yes, which is more like an opioid. Okay. Basically, the ICE thing is focused towards all these Southeast Asian countries.
Okay.
Initially, let's say like 10, 15 years ago, it's a labor force drug to make them work like 40 hours overtime without feeling it. But now we have it in Nigeria. We have what you call synthetic marijuana in Nigeria, which is highly toxic and highly dangerous. And these things are coming from across the border sometimes. Now you want to talk about your Kajua Kush, Arizona, loud, Canadian loud. Then you want to talk of alcohol itself is a drug. Because when it comes to children and they start tampering and messing with it, it becomes an abuse and it involves them and it becomes dangerous and it changes their character, it changes their attitude, it changes their focus in life. So we have what you call molly. You have your ref is still raging. So you have mixture of potpourri. You're not even talking of people that are sniffing gum, they're doing petrol, they're doing all sorts of dangerous. Some are just exploring. But the regular ones are what we're talking about. So you'll find ICE on the streets of Lagos. You find ICE dealers and ICE importers. You find Arizona dealers in the streets of Lagos, for example.
They're right there on the street.
Yes, you will find Colorado. Apart from your regular cocaine, heroin, and everything that's been raining for decades. So you're having molly, you're having ref.
More synthetic drugs now are coming out.
Yes, you have even talked about things like just what you mentioned, your codeine, your whatever, and all that stuff. So the list is getting longer. The list is getting longer, really.
Okay, so all of these things are happening. There are people that seem to think that government is not doing enough. You work with these victims every now and again. You work with rehabilitating them and all of that. What can you tell us about government's involvement in the entire process?
You need to look at it holistically, in a way, Sheriff. You have to look at what will the government do. You will start from the customs. Some things are coming through the border.
Yeah.
Is the government stopping them? You'll start from the LEAs.
NDLEA.
Law enforcement agencies.
Right.
NDA, the pivot of them. You will look at other law enforcement agencies like the police and every other thing. Yes, they can try. But it's like hydro head trouble and problems. When you're putting it down one place, it's coming our borders are porous. The nature of the economy are driving a lot of people to crime, making them very susceptible. The nature of the economy is taking our children away from being engaged in very responsible manner. And affordability of education for some people and for their children, it's a big task. So all these sometimes come back to the society and to the communities and play all these things out.
Great. Yeah. What's the role of the community in this conversation? Because you and I know that these people, these drug peddlers, they are right there on the street. Sometimes they are neighbors. They are customers too. They are children. And then everybody is just pretending as though it's a normal thing. Last week when this conversation came up, a gentleman called in from Delta. He's from Delta, but he's in Lagos. And he said he went home, you know, lately, and one of those druggies were trying to harass him. He took his own younger brother to stand up to that other drug because they're all friends. They're all age mates, which means that, you know that this particular person has taken to drugs. You know that this particular person is selling drugs. But then the community just move on. It's almost like there's nothing anybody can do.
The community. Surely community can do something, Sheriff. We need to promote more awareness and sensitization and tell them the negative other side of what they think they are rewarded with in terms of their finances. A community develops acceptance, then it now develops tolerance. And mind you, every crime community and every drug community exists within a community. Those that use drugs are not spirits. The ones that sell them are either virtual nor spirits. Even when you say you're ordering it online, there'll be a physical delivery at one point where man will talk to man,
right,
drop something from
right,
man,
right,
no matter the distance. People need to, first of all, have a mindset of not to be a cold killer of other people. Can you have an empathy and say, I'm selling these things, but supposing it was my child. Suppose it was my brother that I'm doing in. How would I feel with all the efforts we've put on the children, or all the efforts we put on our brother? He has now gone to college. He now becomes a Colorado addict. A Colorado addict is wanting more. He's coming back for more. It becomes, it affects everything about his life, his status, his home, his character, his health, and everything. But he's still coming for more. Because that's what addiction is all about. So we're breeding a lot of addicts because we have availability. Now, would we say the NDLA is not working? Absolutely.
I was going to come there.
Absolutely wrong, Sheriff. I was on the street. We have a feel with the ground all the time because we are working with communities. We partner them all the time. So we get information. We will get calls. NDLA has been here. They've arrested and they've taken and they've busted trap houses and they've done all that. But you see, it's just like a quicksand thing. You know, you dip in, you take something, it's covered back all over again. So it has to be a continuous thing. But the mindset of the people, I was telling you about your holistical approach. There's this social welfare area for Nigerians that's not been met. The gaps are getting bigger. The gaps are getting wider.
So more people are taking to drugs as a coping mechanism.
You can say that again. You know, apart from people are abusing, people are even abusing prescription drugs. You know,
that's
we have
right.
medical people that are abusing prescription drugs. We have high class people that are abusing prescription drugs, and it's not just that. A lot of people just they are there's a level of frustration sometimes that bring loneliness that leads into depression. So an addiction is all about a reward part of the brain that tells you this thing makes me feel good, I want it. Then you now go for more, you now go for more, and it now gets worse.
And your tolerance level keeps going up and up.
Going up and up and on. It now becomes a medical thing. Even at that stage, addiction says it becomes a disease. So it's not the substance itself. It's what the substance brings in that makes it a disease.
I want to talk to you about some black sports when it comes to drug peddling and all of that in Lagos and what you feel. How do you think we've handled such black sports? People can mention Ojuno, they can mention, is it Alaka or something, Mushi? They can mention other areas that are known, you know, for drugs business in Lagos. But yet, those areas are still standing. Okay.
The dynamics are very deep. We already said about a community acceptance. And a community tolerance. And what do you mean by acceptance? You know, you have leaders in communities. And when the acceptance comes, the leaders have an awareness of this is going on in my domain. The tolerance point is the leaders have accepted and moved from the level of acceptance to tolerate it. So what does that play out? You now see legion of different users come to that area to pick up whatever they need to buy. However it is, their children get in the mix too. They don't like it. But it hardens them the more. Because if it's happening to their children, they don't care whose children it's happening to. So that's what we're seeing in communities.
How about on the part of government? I mean, a government that is having this sort of because this is a pandemic, right? This sort of a drugs problem and still keeps quiet.
And it's not that.
There's this seeming quiet from the government side.
I think the government, the way I see it, is for us to move nearer to solutions. The government should enforce true community leaders, true landlords and house owners in different communities, because they are the major stakeholders. Yes, there are laws that say if they are selling drugs in your house, if we catch you, you lose the house. But there should be a two-way connection area where the people that wants to give information, and they will not be vulnerable and be at risk for what you call casual violence. Casual violence is one of the things that bring what you call silence and a culture of silence. And the culture of silence, you know what that means. And the impact it does in every other thing.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, let's take a few calls and hear from people quickly. And let's get some contribution in as regards this conversation we're having this morning. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-71904 for the ladies. Let's get your thought on that issue of drug addiction, drug abuse, you know, that we have in this part of the world. It's getting out of control. I've seen many videos of people on drugs. There was one time I saw a video of a lady who, from that video, it was said that she was dumped by a moving car, and then she was standing awkwardly. I think her head was back, you know, stretched backwards and everything. And a lot of people in that video were saying, I want TV show. Then somebody now said, it's drugs. And the person now mentioned the drugs. I mean, that was the first time I can't even remember the name of the drugs. And that's what it does to people. It can make you bend somewhere. It can make, you know, it's something else. Let's take some calls in. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sherry.
Good morning, madam.
My name is Shayo, calling from Mafuluku.
Welcome. Welcome.
God bless your guest dear. Mr. Sheriff, my own brother, my own blood brother, who is 17 years, takes Colorado. They begged him to go to school. He said, no, he's not going to school. Okay, go and learn work. for the past 5 years, he's been learning Tilo. No avail. He knows none. Last night, he went to take it. They came to call us after that. We should come and carry my brother. He's sleeping now. On the road, main road.
Wow. Wow.
72 years old. Mr. Zeri, I'm a blind person.
Hmm.
I would gather money to go back for my rehabilitation.
Hmm.
I want to get typewriter to go for my rehabilitation.
Yeah.
You took the 10,000, which I kept.
Oh.
I'm now at home. I can't go back for my rehabilitation, which I am supposed to complete the program this year.
Oh. I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry, Shayo. I'm sorry. You're saying?
I said, sorry about that, Shayo. That's very heavy.
Hmm.
We really do feel with you. We want Nigerians to listen to you and see people that can, like, do interventions. And
right.
Maybe.
Let's take another call before the break comes in. Good morning to you.
Mr. Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my name is Dan Baba.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. I think
Dan Baba, if you don't mind, I'd love for you to call me back, please.
All right.
So sorry. Thank you. Let's go to break, Lagos. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Why are they my first choice?
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to The Crossfire. We're discussing the epidemic of drug addiction in Nigeria. Akin Fatuga, the executive director of Tuga Care Foundation, is here. They work with addicts. They try to get people out of drug addiction and put them in treatment and rehab and all of that and make them survivors. And they also work with those as well to get other people out of it. Akin, thank you again for making it here.
Sure.
I can have to drive how many hours in traffic to get here?
You bet.
Thank you. I mean, I know you're passionate about this. This is what you live for. Thank you so much. Before I come back to you, Akin, let me take a few more calls. Dan Baba tried calling earlier, but we couldn't speak with him. Dan Baba, please try and call back again. Let's see if we can get you back on the line. Apologies for the breaking transmission while speaking with you.
Hello, good morning. Good
morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank God you're bringing up this topic at this time.
Right.
There's a dangerous hotspot around Ikeda. If the authorities were here, we heard that they've raided the place so many times. It's a spot close to Kimadi Estate at Gowan Estate.
Okay.
Please, they should go there. It's 24-hour service there. Children buy drugs from there.
Children.
And it's dangerous. And we heard that it's people from Cameroon and Jay that are selling the drugs. Please. Let them read that, please. We heard that NDLA has been there. The police have been there. NDLA has been there. And there's nothing they are doing. Please, let them go there and save our children and save the community. Please. Please, I beg you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We join you in making that passionate appeal. Please go and rate these places. Read them of this... drug peddlers. It's quite dangerous to our community. Good morning to you.
Yeah, Mr. Sheriff, this is Dan Baba.
Good to have you back. Good to have you back.
Thank you. You see, if we want to kill drug in Nigeria, first of all, we'll start from the celebrities. Government regulators must wake up. That is why I'm angry when NBC go after radio station and TV station. Today, you see celebrity where they feature interview online. The first thing you see is smoke. Then you look under to look for the celebrity. Don't forget, my Nigeria, our level of gullibility is too much. Immediately one person do something, it go viral, everybody start it. Then secondly, if we can kill what they call Yahoo Yahoo to be all reduced it, this drug issue will reduce. Because when a young man or teenager have access to free money, Mr. Sheriff, you were once a teenager. Back then, when they give you money, people that come back from city, the next day that you buy sweet or biscuit.
You blow it in the ears.
Now, these young guys see this drug as their own sweet now.
So what do we have in Nigeria? You see, young people have access to free money. You see them in the club, restaurants, expensive restaurants, spend money anyhow. And when you talk, they say, maybe they don't collect your girlfriend. And you see government officials looking at them, doing nothing. You know, these are the things that we should deal with. If you like, create awareness on that tomorrow. Since they have the money, you can't tell them what to do. These young children should be in school. They should be learning hard work. Today you see them looking for money, looking at their phone, how to defraud people and spend the money anyhow. Thank you.
Dambaba, thank you. And I understand your passion on this topic. Let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Sir. Good morning to you.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, we can hear you clearly.
Yeah, I really appreciate you, and I really appreciate you for bringing this person, Mr. Sheriff, and our guest. I greet you. Then it's really a pandemic in Nigeria. Like, it's a big deal. It's everywhere, Sheriff. Mr. Sheriff, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, please. We can hear you.
I purposely, one day, I took sushi with some guys.
Okay.
Oh, my God, man. We have sushi without any substance, but they deliberately do these things to get high, and they can go extra mile. And that is why you see all these medical drugs. They are expensive. You get, because of these people, you get. They are abusing it, and the law is not getting them. Let me tell you, all these people they are getting, they are the working boys.
Yeah.
They are not getting people who are importing this thing. Okay, look at what happened the last time. Some tons of cocaine were imported into the country. They found a place in Ikorodu. They went to burn evidence. Who does that? I did criminology. All these things are done, orchestrated by the big dogs. You understand? Until they start getting them, nothing will happen. If you see, let me tell you, in every family you have in Nigeria now, let's say maybe one person amongst them is abusing these things. But what people don't know is that
It's
just like an addiction. You can be addicted to anybody. This is not about prayer. This is not about. But that's why I was saying it. We just need to sensitize. We need to keep talking to people.
Right.
Don't even taste it. I've taken weed myself. You understand? And I saw the repercussion. I said, what? Really? You just have to withdraw. You understand?
Right.
It's very important to educate people, not to abuse these things, not to use it. But the onus lies on the government to go after the top dogs. Because these top dogs, they are not using it themselves, but there is money in drug
business. They are the ones trafficking
all over
it.
The world.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you for calling. I appreciate you. Let's take this one here, then I'll come to you, Akin. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm fine. This topic that you've raised today, we need to talk about it more.
I know.
You know? Unfortunately, I think our legislation is not up to date also. Especially when it comes to what people show on social media. Particularly those who are influencers, always smoking weed and, you know, drinking. We need to be up to date with our legislation so that we can deal with that. Secondly, our law enforcement agencies are very complicit. I live in Surulere. There's a secondary school, as a grammar school. Around that school, there are 3 drug dens around that secondary school.
Just imagine that.
And I usually see police vans parking there. When I newly moved into the area, I actually went to Sholoki Police Station. The woman at the counter just said, "Madam, you know what? I understand how you feel, but just woman to woman, please go home." Right in front of the school, right beside the school, there are 3 drug dens. One masquerades as a drink seller, one masquerades as a fan repairer, and the third one is just a plain drug dealing den. And you see, especially from the Sholoki Police Station and Sonya, they park there. They're gisting with the guys. I know they've come for their title. Now, I know that the principal of that school is probably afraid, and that's why she can't do anything. Because I don't know why you would leave young, impressionable students around those 3 dangerous places. The girls are in danger. The boys are in danger. And lastly, I think all this boils down again to our family structures. Parents no longer pay as much attention to their children, as they used to. In times past, the neighbor could scold your child. You would still come and scold the child. Lately, You don't even scold your child, so why would the neighbor scold your child? Mm. We pick schools based on the fact that they don't administer corporal punishment.
Mm.
Teachers cannot scold students. We get away with everything. I think that, above all, we need to rethink our values from the family as a unit. That's where society starts from. I think we need to do better in our families. Thank you and have a great week.
Have a great one. Thank you so much for the contribution. Let me take some comments here, then I'll come to you, Akin. Femido Adegoke says, good morning to your guests in the studio. Almost every community in Lagos has its drug peddlers. Mr. Akin has said it all about the decadence in our society, you know, from homes. That's Femi Idowu Adegoke on our live stream on YouTube, and he also re-echoed what the last caller, you know, just said about the family structure. Akin, let me come to you about the other side of this conversation that we're not talking about, and that is the fatality. You are on the street. You see these people every now and again. What can you tell us about this? Because it's almost looking like as though people get away with it. They just smoke these things and then they, you know, they carry on with life as though there are no repercussions, you know.
Thank you, Sheriff. This is a very serious one, and it's a big one. And when you're talking of fatality, you're talking of deaths. And one thing I wanted to mention is when you look at some, there was a caller that talked about artists and
yeah,
stuff like
the celebrities.
That. Yes, and all that. Alcohol will tell you drink responsibly.
That's right.
By those that sell it and market it. And the cigarettes people, nicotine, a very big addiction thing globally, and one of the biggest. We also tell you smokers are liable to die young.
That's right.
So these are caveat warnings. But when it comes to illicit drugs and substances, there is nothing like smoke responsibly. See, illegality breeds more illegality.
Hmm.
And illegality sometimes cannot be quantified in what it brings in its wake in terms of destruction. That's coming back to that talk we're talking, this conversation about mortality and deaths. We have noticed walking on the street, we're non-clinical, but when a man dies, he dies. And people, most likely 8 out of 10 reasons, can see a pointer maybe to his death. And when you're talking in terms of street life, when young people are dying, and the young people already have been labeled or identified with a character type of a habit, maybe doing Colorado or doing drugs, there's a lot of pointers that says that could be the cause of death. And when you now ask the environment people and his peers, they can probably confirm to you and say, he went beyond his limits.
He overdosed on this, overdosed on that.
And you get what I'm saying? He's now mixing this and that. So today on the street, though we have cocaine, we have this, we have that. Some of them, they time out to perfect their destruction on the mental health and on the health of those that abuse it and chronically involved in it. Might take time. It might even take years. But we have seen now that synthetic marijuana, the likes of Colorado and whatever you call them, are making victims and death toll out of our people. And out of mostly our young people. One thing I can even say about them is if you're over 40 or 45, if you go and do Colorado and you mix it with something, you're surely gone. You're gonna.
You OD straight.
Yes, you OD straight because you don't even have it in you. Your blood can't.
It is that strong.
It is that strong. And for the young ones that are abusing it, maybe they're doing alcohol, they are running the same high risk. These are high risk things. Nobody can quantify what he has in terms of substances, which is over 100 sometimes, and they're still counting. And in its wake, every day on the street, we are getting feedbacks. This is not a fear thing. This is not like a fake evidence appearing real or something. This is genuine thing. Why is it so? They will tell you, so, the son of so, that woman, he died. What happened? Easy calls. He owed it. So, he called. He went with his friends to a party. He died. They brought him back. So. He was in the gutter. They had to call his family to come and carry him. He was knocking his head on the ground. He's dead. So we are getting all this report all the time. And I'm telling you, wherever you have all the prevalence of all these substances, all these things are going on. You're not even talking of character default, like the one you talked about this morning, where a man can take a machete and go and kill his mother. You can talk about our caller that talked about the 17-year-old young man,
her brother,
that can put her in that kind of a situation. You know, these are very deep things. And one of the things we tell our people, especially, it's so emotional when you see young people die just in a careless, most careless way. So emotional when you see them, when you just see that, okay, see this young man, I know this kid. He's just 18. He's just 19. How could he have a stroke?
So let's talk about access to help, because that's one last angle that we'll look at before we go back to telephone. It's almost like they're helpless. Let's put it that way. They're helpless. Addicts usually don't. The willpower to stop most likely is not. Has been taken away from them because of their addiction. So it's called addiction. Access to help has always been a conversation as well, ongoing conversation. Your organization, you are doing the best that you can do, but there's also a limit to what you can do. I know some other organizations too that do what you do as well. But how can we effectively make access to help available to these victims?
Sheriff.
Because this is very emotional, like you said.
Addiction itself is not about your willpower. Or maybe you make a wrong decision. It becomes something that's ingrained in you. And in the mental health areas, we know that it's something in your brain, you know, something that's affecting you. So you're coming back to things that give you harm, that brings danger to you, and they can probably kill you. That's why you have that addiction problem. There are other addictions. People are addicted to sex, addicted to food, addicted to exercise, addicted to gambling. Those are physical addictions.
That's
stealing
right.
and all that.
That's right.
You know, antisocial behaviors
That's
and
right.
all that. So, but in the mental health area, we know that it's not about your willpower when it gets to that stage of addiction. It's not about your willpower or whatsoever. However it is, getting help in our setting, first of all, starts, like the lady said, from the family. The family needs to have an empathy. They need to be patient to see and listen. They need to engage that person that is involved. They need not to stigmatize, but to show care and know so they can bring solutions. In terms of help, see, Lagos is supposed to have 20 million people. And when you look at beds for people that have SUDs and all that, substance use disorders and things like that, I'm not sure that we have 1,000 beds in Lagos State.
Available.
You know, so even if we do, that's incredible and very great. So that tells you the limit of the care that can be given through available help system. However it is, there is always help. The organizations that have helplines. We do have helplines too.
Can you share your helpline?
We will. I will give our helpline.
Yes, please.
Our helpline be www. You have it.
Okay, I'll share it. I'll share it with the people. Let's quickly get thoughts in again on this conversation. If you're joining us, you're welcome. Right. So we're doing this for 3 days. If I don't get to pick your call today, I will most likely pick your call tomorrow or Wednesday. That's okay. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. If you are an addict, you can call in and share your experience with us. Be honest, be vulnerable. You are allowed to do that. Also, you can be anonymous. That's okay. It's fine to be anonymous. We welcome that. If you have someone that you care so much about going through this, you can share their story as well. And if you'd like to be anonymous, please feel free to do that, okay? Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Ugo.
Welcome, Ugo. Welcome.
Yeah, I listened to the analyst. It's actually really not the real understanding of what is happening in this drug session. Do you know that this thing is not an epidemic?
Oh, yes.
You are talking about a hotspot. Here in Ejibo, very, very close to one primary school like that. This Drangada every time. They take this drug, and, you know, within the vicinity, wherever it is happening, the law enforcement agencies that are very close to that place, especially the police, they seem to be maybe an accomplice, in a company. They seem to be supporting them somehow, or maybe
they are aiding it in a way.
Yes. The pastor that was opposite there is my friend, and he was telling me to go look at what is happening now. And they can't say anything. If I say anything, they will deal with me. I'm telling you, it's not a cartel. These guys, they have power, even as small as they are. Little children, for that matter.
I know.
So I don't know what will be done. The moral, there's a moral destruction, not even decadence. I don't know what we are learning in the school. I don't know what we are learning in the churches. What are they teaching them? What are they teaching them? This generation is going slowly. People are going.
Go, thank you.
And you can't even make out anything. In fact, it is disturbing. I want to tell you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Ugo. I appreciate your time. Pastor Ladipo joins us now. Pastor Ladipo, morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
I want to ask your guest one question. You know, this thing now has become an epidemic. How about raising secret police?
Pastor Ladipo.
Hello, Sherry.
Yes, we can hear you now.
How about having secret police or people that you recruit that can be given information so that we can curb some of these things and we don't disclose those people's identity? That is my take this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you
to you for calling. Let's take this call from an anonymous caller. Anonymous, morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
This thing has become so much, is a really difficult thing, even here at Sikoto, where I stay. In my area, you see little children going to buy these drugs. In fact, I had to accost one day. He said it was his dad that sent him. I said, how can your father send you to buy this kind of thing? He was like, auntie, well, leave me alone. No. He's already used to it. He will like it. We use it to prepare food for ourselves. I will take it. I'll say, prepare what? He said, they mix it in their pap and take it. But the daddy said he takes care of what kind of diseases. I said, is that the experiment people are doing? The woman that was telling it to me just stopped me and said, shh, keep quiet. See them. They're coming. I was like, madam, how can you be doing this kind of thing in this kind of place? They say, well, that's the way I survive. Because apart from selling that drug, she sells other things. So I went there to buy something, and I noticed some movement, and I said, "Asin." She said, madam, keep quiet. It's none of your business. This is how we have been surviving here. It is not the first time, and we'll have to survive.
Right.
And it's painful because you will see police people come around, they do what they want to do, and you go away. You don't talk, because if you talk, you're in trouble. I mean, it is a very sorry case. It's a very sorry case. It's quite unfortunate, but what we won't do. I really don't know. It's quite unfortunate.
Thank you too. And Akin, you made mention of the community the other time. People don't know how heavy that statement is, because you said there's a community within the community, and now people can't speak up because of the repercussion, the consequence of speaking up. And there's something that I've also noticed, that this last caller and some callers as well that had coding, they've said that most of these peddlers, they also have other businesses that they do. So they sell these drugs in together with their other business. So it's pretty hard to even determine, except if you're into drugs, then that's when you know whether they are doing drugs or they are not, they are selling drugs or they are not selling drugs. Which brings me to the enormity of this struggle to fight drugs, this enormity, this fight against drug trafficking on our streets, because I can nobody puts signposts on their in the front of their shop and say, I sell Igbo here. No, nobody does that. It's looking impossible. You're laughing. It's looking impossible.
Sheriff, commendations have to be given to people that deserve it. Major General Bubamawa has come as a big phantom. And he's done a lot of deliverance to a whole lot of Nigerian youths on the street in the most at-risk ages that are vulnerable to be using drugs. Part of the example was the 12 tons bust. If you monetize it, I can calculate it.
Yeah.
If you calculate the harm that will bring,
if that could find a way into the streets, yeah,
that harm has a 30-year call.
Akin, we have to go. We really must go. We're completely out of time. Thank you so much for coming around. Akin is the ED of Tugat Care Foundation. They work with addicts and help to rehabilitate. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Sheriff.
That's our show today. I'm Sheriff. Morning to
you. Decide topical conversations that matter to you.
There are people for personal, religious, whatever reasons who do not want to take a vaccine. And I think they have the rights.
They cannot go to us to stop insecurity. It's to force people to take vaccine. Let them come and kill me. I can never take it.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn there that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.